Well, I hope you're all excited about getting ready for the youth retreat. The appointment, and certainly we're all familiar with having appointments, and we've had appointments before, and God has established himself in our lives so that we can experience these encounters with him. And life is designed so that as we follow the plan of God, we have these different experiences as we go through life. And at each intersection of life, these encounters that we have are designed to help us to either get to know God better or to help someone else get to know God better. And the idea is that as we follow God's plan for our lives, we are actually fulfilling the call of God. And that your life and my life is not by accident, it's by design. God created humanity, and he gave each of us a soul or a personality and a mindset that we all have that is a gift from God. It may be in these physical bodies. However, our physical bodies are not eternal. They are temporary because of sin. And most of our problems come from the issues that we have with our bodies. And we go through a lot of challenging experiences because of the way we feel. You know, we feel a certain way, and it causes us to react or respond in a particular way based on what we're thinking. And that's why God says, yeah, these bodies are a problem. They are sinful. The desires of the flesh go against the will of God and the plan of God for our long-term existence. And so God says, I'm going to give you a new body. Hallelujah. A glorified body, just like Jesus had a glorified body. And as a result, then you can live out eternity, take yourself, your soul out of this one, it goes back to the dust, and God gives you anew. Isn't that good? Do you feel good about that? You should, right? I know I feel good about it. The older I get, the better I feel about it. And certainly we know that it's amazing, and it's an amazing thing, but it's hard to understand. It's hard to grasp because of its uniqueness, and yet it is a reality. And so we have to live by faith. We have to trust God because we don't know how all this works. We don't really understand it yet. We know that God said it, and it is true. And the soul leaves the body dies. And once the soul is gone, then there is nothing left for the body. And so God says our souls return back to him when we are belonging to the Lord. And that is a beautiful thing, because that is why Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And so there is a place being prepared for us, and God has a timeline for that. He knows when that is. And our lives are a series of appointments that we have to engage in. And sometimes we become impatient and we want to kind of rush things along. When you're young, you want to be older. When you're older, you kind of want to be younger. And, but only to a certain extent. I don't really know people who got older and then said they want to go back to exactly the way it was. Now, most people, when they get older, they want to go back physically where they feel younger, but they don't want to lose their senses and their awareness and their understanding and the wisdom and knowledge that they've obtained over the years, because the older you get, the more you realize how stupid you were, right? And so as we move forward, we want to retain the good things that we have. And the only reason we have those good things is because we have had a series of appointments along the way, and we've learned and we've grown, and the Lord has shown us things and he's taught us things that have caused us to to become the people that we are. And the more we learn of God and we have experiences in Him, the more God is able to reflect Himself through us into the lives of others. We can have an impact on the community and the world and the people around us, our coworkers, and we're able to endure situations, challenges, and difficulties that we face as citizens of this world. And so God has a plan that is being worked out individually for each of us. And it's not the same for everyone because everyone's situations are not the same. And the encounters and the life experiences that we have are not all the same, even though they may have similarities. But each one is designed so that we can learn of God. We can learn to trust Him more and more as we go along, so that in the end, when we are ready to leave these bodies, we will have good experience. We will have an awareness of God, an understanding of God, and all that He has brought us through. And that will give us faith in God so that we can live with Him forever. In fact, the Word of God says that there is a new heaven and a new earth that will be coming our way. And so our desire is to have an experience in God and with God so that the will of God can be accomplished in our lives. And this month we are talking about the horn of salvation. The horn of salvation. And the horn is represented in many different ways in the Word of God. In particular, Jesus said that He is the horn of salvation. It is one of the names of God. And so you and I, we are delivered, we are set free, we are saved through the work of Christ on the cross, what He accomplished on the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then there was the imparting of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God fills our life, as the Word of God matures in our hearts, you and I are able to live in the strength and the power of God. God enables us to have faith and to trust Him and to live out our lives in a way that honors the Lord. And so we want to take a look at just how horns are used by God. Are you aware that God talks about horns in different ways in the Word of God? Well, yes, He does. And so we're going to take a look at that today. And first, we're familiar with the ram. And the ram is the source of the horns in the Bible. And when we hear the Word of God talk about the trumpets and talk about the horn comes from the ram. And the ram is it's a beautiful animal. It's in the sheep family. And we understand how important the sheep are to God. And the metaphors that we experience in the Word of God relating to sheep. In fact, the Word of God relates us to God as like sheep. And He says, we are like sheep who've gone astray, each to our own way. And God is here to reconcile us back to Himself. He is the shepherd. In fact, He refers to Himself as the good shepherd. And the good shepherd loves His sheep. And because He loves the sheep, He wants to take care of them. And the shepherd's job is to protect them from all of the bears and the wolves and the other animals that would make a meal out of a sheep. Who doesn't enjoy a nice lamb chop every once in a while, all right? So we know that the sheep are tasty to eat. And so God knows that, and He protects us, and He guards us, and He keeps us so that we can be safe from our enemies, from those who would want to take advantage of us or to even eat us. And so in Psalm 18:2, David says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Hallelujah. God is our stronghold. He is the one who covers us. He shields us. He gives us sensitivities that enable us to be aware so that we can be guarded and shielded and protected against the attacks of the enemy. We know that attacks come to us in three different ways: through external forces of the world, the influences of the world, or fallen man, humanity. And there's the flesh, our own bodies work against us. We have cravings and desires, and we have feelings that cause us to respond and react and do things in ways that go against the way of God. And then we have Satan himself. There are spiritual forces that are at work. And these spiritual forces are in the realm of the spirit, where even God operates. And so these three areas are essential for us to guard so that we can operate and navigate through life in a way that will keep us safe from the enemies of the Lord and those who would obey his word and follow his way of life. And so I would like to use as a theme today the power of the horn. The power of the horn. Are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for your word. We ask, God, that you would give us an understanding and an awareness. Help us, Lord, to be able to navigate through life in the strength that you have made available to us, and that we would operate in the wisdom that you have given us, and that you are able to enable us as we engage in the appointments that you have for us, that we would not be impatient as we wait for your divine timeline, and that things would be working out according to our good, according to those, for those who live according to your purpose. Lord, we thank you, O God, for all these things. Open our ears that we may hear, and that we may be able to apply the word of God to our lives in a personal way that will enable us to be drawn closer to you and become more and more of the people you've called us to be, the ambassadors and the representatives of the kingdom of God that you have established for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there is power in the horn, in the word of God. The horn, it represents power. It represents authority. And whenever the horn is mentioned, that is always tied to its meaning. There is power in the horn, in the use of the horn. And this power is there to help us to perpetuate the representation of the kingdom of God. We are empowered to live according to the will of God and the word of God. God gives us strength. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He anoints us to move and to represent him in all that we do. And that is why the ram is so important. It is representative of the power of God. And it is a powerful force. And it has the ability to endure hits. Hallelujah. Powerful hits. And rams like to butt heads. You know, they like to engage in this type of coming together where they bang their heads together. You know, there are people who are like rams. They like to butt heads, right? I'm sure you've encountered some of these people. They enjoy conflict. They like butting their heads with other people in situations and circumstances. Sometimes there's no reason to go to have the conflict, but they just enjoy it. And that's kind of what happens with rams. The reason they do this is, number one, they want to establish dominance. Who is going to be the leader of the pack? Another reason for them doing this is they want to win the ladies, right? They want the lady sheep, right? And so they'll butt heads over the ladies. And another reason is they just like doing it for fun. They do it just for fun. They just love to do it. And there's always going to be people in your life that they just enjoy butting heads with people. And there is good reason for this. But the problem with this is that And I didn't realize this, that these rams, they actually can get brain damaged from butting their heads together. I could see that. I mean, look how hard these guys are hitting each other. Look, that's why they're walking around there like, all right, take a break right now. Oh, my goodness. Oh. And sooner or later, if you butt heads long enough, you're going to need to take a break from it. You just got to be. Have you ever had that situation where you're like, you know what, I just got to get away from you? You know, you just go ahead, you know, whatever you want to do, go ahead. And so the ram is the animal that God relates to and where the horn comes from. It's the root of the reference of the horn in the Word of God. And so when we see this laid out, we can learn from it because it helps us to understand how God is relating to us. There are horns on the altar of incense. And the altar of incense was a place where people would burn these incenses as a sacrifice, a form of sacrifice during times of prayer. And so as prayer would go up, the incense would go up, and you would smell the scents, and that represented the prayers of the people ascending up to God. We even see this not only in Leviticus and Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, but we also see this in Revelation. And God talks about the prayers of God's people going up before God in the last days. You do know these are the last days. And so when our prayers are going up before God, it's represented in the imagery of the smoke and the smell of the incense that goes up before God. In other words, God loves the fragrance of our prayer as we pray, as we talk to God, as we commune with God. And these horns on the altar, they represent the place where for the boundaries, the protected areas. These are the corners. And oftentimes, people who would find themselves in trouble would run to grab onto the horns of the altar because they wanted to be protected. And that is something that is often seen in the Word of God. God sees the altar as a place of refuge. And that is why Christ is so important to us, because he is our refuge. When we find ourselves in need and in trouble, we come to him and we cry out to him. The horn is also made for the shofar. The shofar is the horn that was blown. It is what the Bible calls a trumpet. And it is used to signify the move of God, that God is about to do something, that the people of God are preparing to take action, and that God is going before them. I don't know about you, but I want God to go before me. I don't want to be walking into anything that I'm caught unaware of, or even that I have to call on God, help, come. God, come here. No, I want God to go first so I can say, is it safe? Can I come along? What's next? So you always want God to go before you. And that is why God always expects the first. First represents not only that we're giving our first, but that you're putting God ahead of you. That God is first in your life. That's the principle behind tithing. That's the principle behind serving. That's the principle behind devotions and praying for situations and circumstances. That's the reason we pray for our children and our families, so that God would go ahead of them as they go through life, as we endure situations, so that these divine appointments that we all have, that God will be there first. And as God is there first, he prepares the way for us. The horn was also used for a container for the anointing oil. And whenever the priests or those who were being ordained into the work or the positions that God had for them, the anointing oil was poured out over their heads. Nowadays, we put it on our hands and then we put it on people because people get a little, you know, funky about getting oil on their clothes or on their things. And so now we're a little more dignified. We do it a nice, easy way. But in the Bible days, they would fill the ram's horn with oil and pour it out over the top of their head, and it would drip down their face and their beards and down their shoulders all the way down to their feet, and they would be covered in oil. And as they went out, they would smell the frankincense and the myrrh and the smell of the oil that was used, and everybody would know, oh, he was anointed today. Oh, he was anointed. And the scent of the smell of the oil, and the oil would be on them as they went about whatever their routine was after they were anointed. And that represents the call of God. It represents that the covering of God, that God is with you, that you have been empowered by God. You have been given authority to do what it is that God has called you to do. And so the ram's horn is another tool that was used as a cup or a container for the anointing oil. And so all power and authority comes from God. It doesn't matter who you are or what it is that you do, that authority, your ability to grow into that position or into that place has come from God. God has called you to do what you do. He has anointed you to do what you do. And that is why you do it, because you are being directed by the Spirit of God. He's inspiring you to do it. And your feelings all come in alignment with that desire, because God is understanding you. He knows you. He knows how you think. He knows how you feel. He knows everything about you. He knows all the little idiosyncrasies about you. He knows your little funky ways. He knows, you know, your little way of thinking. He understands, you know, how you feel about everything and how you respond. He even knows why. And he gets it. He understands all of that. And he still uses you. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? He still uses us. He still gives us a chance. He still has an opportunity for us that awaits us, but he doesn't give us everything at once. He understands that some things take time. We have to grow into them, and when we are ready, when the timing is right, we will have an appointment to receive the anointing to do the next thing, or the authority to do the next thing. And so that's what God does. So we all start out somewhere. I used to be a gaffer. I used to tape things down, and I used to run wires and unload stuff and put stuff together. I was just the guy who ran, oh, go get coffee. I would go get coffee. I would do random things. And then, and ultimately, by the time I retired out of that, I was running everything, right? But I didn't start there. I had to work my way up, and I had to work my way through. And as I proved myself, I had different encounters and opportunities came my way that I was able to ace. Hallelujah. And I was able to ace them because while I was doing the thing that nobody else liked to do or wanted to do, I was learning and growing in God. And God taught me patience. He taught me how to wait. He taught me how to trust him. He taught me how that he is the one who's directing and ordering my steps, and I could wait on the Lord. And one day an opportunity came, and I found myself in a situation where no one could solve the problem, and they called me. Hallelujah. And that opened the door. It only opened the door because I solved the problem. Hallelujah. And so that created an opportunity. And that's how God works in our lives. And as we go through life, God presents opportunities, and he will make a way for you. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you are or where you're from or what's going on. It doesn't matter. When you're following the plan of God, God will make a way for you, and he will create opportunities, and he will open doors. And each of those opportunities lead to greater authority or power or the ability to do and represent God in some way. And in everything we do, we're just needing to be faithful. We just need to honor the Lord, to do what the will of the Lord is. And that is what God has called us to do. He has appointed us for these days, for this time, so that we can be effective at being who God has called us to be. It's not just people who are pastors or deacons or ministry leaders or people who are up. Not just that, but there are people who are working in the marketplace in all different positions, in all different roles and responsibilities that cause society to be able to function and work. Everyone is called and has a place. And God has given you a place. He has established a place for us, and he has given us gifts and talents and abilities because he wants us to represent him where we are, in the place that he has placed us. And so these encounters are designed ahead of time by God. God plans these things ahead for us. And he knows how we think, so he sets up an appointment for us. And so that we're always in the right place at the right time, and the option to do what is right is always there for us, even if we don't. God knows when we're not, and he compensates for that. And so these things are all things that help us to become the people that God has called us to be. As he has set these things up, and he has equipped us and enabled us so that we can represent him in these appointments and in these appointed encounters that God has set up in our lives. And so the horns of the altar are there as a place of refuge, and it's a sign that we're crying out to God for mercy and grace. And we see this in this account here of Jonathan and Adonijah, when Adonijah had made himself king. He sets himself up king. David is dying. He's old, and he's laying on his sick bed, and there he is preparing to transition his kingdom to his heir. Now, his heir is Solomon. And Solomon, it was called to be the next king, but Adonijah, the other son, decided for himself that he should be king. So he takes matters into his own hands. And he decides that he's going to get a bunch of people around him, people from the synagogue, and he's going to pull everybody together. And he throws this huge celebration, a big party, declaring himself king. I don't know about you, but I don't think that goes over too well when you set yourself up. And, you know, the crazy thing is there are a lot of situations where people kind of do this thing. They designate themselves as the person of authority, as the person who's in charge. They determine for themselves that they are going to be the next ruler, or they're going to rule over you. They want to tell you what to do, or tell you how to live, or they want to be in a place or a position over people that they have not been called to. And so they set themselves up in these places. And you know that doesn't go over well anywhere. I don't know about you, but I've worked with people who thought that they were everybody else's boss, even though they weren't the boss. Have you ever worked with people like that? All of a sudden, they're in charge. And that causes a problem, because then they want to be a dictator and tell you what to do, even though you already know what you're supposed to do, because you already know your job and you already know what you have been trained to do, what you've been taught to do, and what your assignment is that was given by your supervisor or by the manager, the person who is really the person with authority. And so it doesn't make things easy. And so as a result, David established Solomon as the king. He establishes himself, he sets him up, and so he pulls all the resources and the things together and says, we're just going to ignore what Adonijah is doing. We're just going to just pretend it's not even happening. And so he begins to pull everything together to make Solomon king, and Adonijah's there throwing his party, and they're doing their thing. They're celebrating. They're like, woo, 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 hallelujah, look at us, I'm king. And meanwhile, David has already got things in motion. And then all of a sudden, one day as the celebration is going on at Adonijah's place, all of a sudden the word comes out that, as verse 44 says here, that the king has sent the king, the new king Solomon, out on his donkey and has established this whole thing. Everything is shifting. Oh no. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Belethites, and they have all made him to ride on the king's mule. Solomon is riding the king's mule through the city, and there's this great celebration going on. It says Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, they've anointed him king in Gihon. And they have come up from their rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise which you have heard. So there's this great celebration. It drowns out Adonijah's party. They're like, wait, what is that? What is going on? I tell you, God knows how to throw a party bigger than anybody. And he will drown out the self-anointed in any situation or circumstance. And I love this because it gives you reason to glorify God. This is why we praise God. It's why we worship God. Why we're so excited here. It's because we know that God is on the throne. God is who he is. We know that Christ is who he is. He's done what he has done. He is with us. He is not against us. He is working in us and through us. He's molding us and shaping us. He's enabling us so that we can experience life from a divine perspective, the way it was designed to be. And the Spirit of God is with us and not against us, because we're not taking matters into our own hands. We are following the plan of God. And I tell you, it's always better to submit to God and allow him to lead the way rather than take matters into your own hands. And taking matters into your own hands always leads to trouble. If you respond based on your feelings or what you think, because we never know the whole story, there's always more to the story. So it's always better to wait and find out what it is that you're missing so that you can make the right decision. And that's what the Spirit of God will do. We wait on the Lord. We wait for the appointed time when God shows us. Oh, and he teaches us what we need to do next. And so there's this great celebration going on. And in verse 46, it says, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. In other words, he's already now ruling, and everybody is cheering and rejoicing. They're celebrating. Everybody's excited about what's happening because there's a new king on the throne. There's fresh flesh and blood on the throne. Say that 10 times. And so God is at work, and God has established himself a new authority. And so this only means trouble for Adonijah, because the king's servants, they it says they came to bless our Lord King David, and they said, may your God make the name of Solomon better than your name and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. Do you see that? Don't you love that? Here he is on his deathbed. He's laying there sick. He's on his way out. But even when he hears the blessing of the Lord, he bows on his head. Don't you want your children to do better than you? Don't you want them to have a better relationship with God than you have? Don't you want them to know the Lord on a deeper level than you do, and to walk in the ways of God, to fulfill their call and the plan of God for their lives? The Lord knows them, and he knows that he has called them, because if he's called you, then that means he's called them, because they're a part of your lineage. They're a part of your future and your hope. They're a part of the blessing and the overflow of God. And so the children are designed to move forward in God from their parents, to do even greater things and even more things. And God shows himself and he reveals himself so that they can have an impact on their generation. This is what God is working out. And when the blessing of the Lord was upon Solomon, David rose up in his bed and he bowed himself before them. And this is what God is looking for us to do. This is the heart of God. This is why David was known as a man who had the heart of God, because David loved seeing other people prosper, loved seeing other people operate in their giftings and become better and more fulfilled in the things of God, as the will of God is being accomplished and worked out in their lives. And even as God fought for them and kept them safe from their enemies, that's what God wants us to also experience. This is what you and I ought to want for our children. We ought to want to see all of these come to fruition among us. Verse 48 says, the king has said this, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. Oh, isn't it a blessing to see your children serve the Lord, to step up and fulfill their rightful place and be effective and be able to accomplish the things that God has for them, to use their gifts and their abilities? There's nothing greater than that. Oh, not only for our own children, but we love seeing our other family members doing it. We love to see our friends, children grow and mature. We love seeing each other. We love seeing people as they operate in their giftings, as they go and they graduate from school, they graduate from college, they graduate, they get jobs and they have places of employment, or they start businesses, or they get involved in things that are of benefit to the community and to society, and they're able to rise up into places of authority where God can use them. No greater blessing than to see the hand of God come alive in a person's life. This is what we want for each other. This is what we want to see happen in the lives of those who are in our sphere of influence. In verse 49, it says, all the guests of Ajaniah were then terrified. It says they arose and they each went their own way. Well, you can imagine that, right? There's this great celebration going on. You know, King Solomon is having his whole thing happening. They're doing the like Jedi mind trick. They're like, pay no attention to that party over there thrown by Adonijah. He really is not the king. Solomon is the king. Join us in this great celebration. Pay no attention to him. He is not the king. And even his own people were like, he's not the king. I guess he's not the king. I guess he's not going to be the king. I guess we're in trouble. We better get out of here. And so they're out. They leave. They take off. And they go their own way. Why? Because nobody wants to be around a loser, right? Nobody likes a loser, right? Nobody wants somebody who's in the wrong place. Nobody wants to be find somebody who's gone against the law of God, right? You don't want to be with the person who's outside of what is right. And if you do, then you're guilty by associating with them, right? It's a law of guilt by association. And you're supporting the whole idea. Even if you didn't do it, you're with the people who did it, and therefore you are in cahoots, right? And so these guys were like, yep, we're out. They take off. They're like, we don't want to be. And that's why they were, when Jesus was arrested and Peter was there watching, and they said, certainly you were with him. You were one of them. He was like, no, not me. Oh, no, I didn't know him. I never knew him. Oh, you're a Galilean. Your accent is giving you away. He was like, what accent? I don't have an accent. No, it wasn't me. I don't know him, right? Why? Because Jesus was under arrest. He was taken away. Peter was like, oh, no, I don't want him to take me. And he was fearful for himself. And that's what happened with these guys. They all took off running. They were like, Adonijah, great party, but see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, right? And they're out. And so Adonijah, he's in trouble now. And Adonijah was afraid, it says in verse 50. And Solomon then, he was afraid of Solomon. And so he arises and he runs into the house of God, and he grabs the horns of the altar. He grabs the horns of the altar. Why? Because that was a place of holiness. It was the place where they couldn't kill him there because it would defile the altar. So for him, he felt it was a place of safety. He thought he was safe holding on to the altar. And that is authentically a place where people would go for mercy, where they would get grace poured out on them. It didn't work out well for Adonijah because they pulled him off the altar. And they pulled him off the altar, and then that was it. He was done. no more Adonijah. He was taken away. And so you and I, we know that the horns of the altar are a place of refuge when you're in the place of righteousness, when you're trying to do things right. Not when you take matters into your own hands, and not when you just kind of do something that you don't have the authority to do or the power to do, or taking up a position, especially the king of all things. Goodness, you know, you don't take on these roles that you haven't been called to do. Wait on God. Let God make the way for you. Let God honor you. Let him lift you up. The word of God says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That is what God will do. In fact, Psalm 75:5 says, do not lift up your horn on high and do not speak with insolent pride. Hallelujah. How's that for a little rhyme for you? You know, God says, don't be proud. Don't be lifting up your own horn. Don't be rising up like you got power and authority. And then you want to bang in there. You're going to be knocked out. Hallelujah. The horns of the ram can give you brain damage. And sometimes when you go against God and you rise up banging into God, you're going to end up with brain damage. One of the things that the ram would do when he was having these pains in his head from ramming is they would lean their head against the tree and put pressure on it, and they would press into the tree to try to alleviate some of the throbbing in their heads. Hallelujah. Have you ever done that? You ever had a headache and you say, oh, if you could just massage it, just put a little pressure right in here and you massage it around. Well, the ram is trying to do that. He can't take his hoofs. And, you know, they don't really. Hoofs can't. So he goes to the tree and he presses in and he's trying to alleviate that pressure. Man, because butting heads, it's painful after a while. You can do it for a little while, but after a while, man, it'll give you a headache. And man, you'll need to get some relief from the pressure in your head. So God says, don't rise up yourself. Don't rise up and position yourself, because God is not like pride. It's one of the things that God hates. In verse 10 of Psalm 75, he says, the horns of the wicked he will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God says he will lift up the horns of the righteous, your authority, your power, your strength, your all that you need in order to be the person God has called you to be, to represent the kingdom of God. He will give you power and authority and the ability to lead and to rule in the ways of God. And each of us has this. We have this. Parents have it in their own house. Sometimes on your job, you start out as the person, like I said, I did. I started as the low man on the totem pole. But after a while, I became the lead person. And it's just little by little. And all you have to do is be faithful. I realized, you know, you don't have to be a genius in a lot of times. A lot of times, it just begins with the basics. If you just show up on time and you don't take the whole lot of days off and you just are good at doing what you do, then you will almost automatically become the supervisor or the lead or something. It doesn't matter what the position is, what the job is, what the company is. Just being able to be consistent in doing things the right way will put you in a place of authority. Why? Because so many people can't do it. They can't do it. They can't even come to work on time. They can't even get there on time. They're always late. You have people who are always late? Man, they're always late. Goodness. I mean, we used to load the truck and we would go driving off. We would look in the mirror and see the guy pulling in. You're like, yep, he's late, too late. And there's a lot of people, too many people, that lack the ability to be consistent and to just do basically what is supposed to be done. And if you are faithful and you're consistent and you're patient, God will raise you up. He will raise you up. You ever get in a position, you say, goodness, how did that guy get in that job? I just can't believe it, right? You ever go to, right? You go shopping in some of these stores, you're like, wait, you the man, how did you, you know, and you're dealing with them, and you're like, goodness, you know what that means? That means he got the job because he was the best of all the ones that they had there. That's what happened. That guy hung out longer than everybody else, and all he just did, the basic thing that he did, and well, you see what it is. So here he is. And it's just, that's just how it is. And saints of God, if you and I, we can hold on as the people of God, you know, positions and things, opportunities open up just because we're just doing what we're supposed to do. And we just do it with a smile because nobody wants to be around a grouch, right? That's why Oscar lives in the garbage can. You know, it's because nobody else wants to be around him. And so, you know, when you are operating in the gifts of the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God, you've got love, you've got joy, you've got peace, you've got patience, you've got kindness, you've got gentleness, and you have every good thing happening for you. So all you have to do is be able to just be consistent and just do what you're supposed to do, and God will lift you up. But verse 10 says, the horns of the wicked, they will be cut off. Hallelujah. And so you and I, we're almost guaranteed to be lifted up. All we have to do is stay faithful, stay true. That's why David says in Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. In other words, God is his strength. Why? Because God just enables him to do what he's supposed to do just over and over and over again. Everybody else makes excuses. Everybody else finds some other thing to distract them, or they get caught up. Oh, I had to do this. I had to do that. And David is just like, you know what? I'm just trusting in the Lord. I'm just going to hold on. I don't have much, but what I have, I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God, for the sake of God. I'm going to allow God to use me. I'm going to let God be my guide and my cover. I'm just going to follow his direction as I go through life. Verse 2 says, he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. That's his foundation, the very thing that he's standing on. He is able to be established in God. And then he is his fortress. He's got a whole covering, a whole house, if you will. In fact, not just a house, more than a house, a fortress. That means it can withstand attacks. Hallelujah. And when you love God and you are called according to his purpose, all things work together for your good. Isn't that what the Word of God says, right? Romans 8, 28, right? And so you and I are able to do that. How? Well, by establishing God as your rock. He is your foundation. I'm standing on the truths of God. I'm being faithful to God. I want to do what God has called me to do. And I'm going to hold on. I'm going to trust God. And the attacks are going to come. But guess what? I'm in a fortress. Hallelujah. God is my cover. He is my deliverer. He is my God. He is my rock. He says, in him I will take refuge, or in whom I will take refuge. That means I can run in to God. Hallelujah. I love that. Hallelujah. That's why we pray. That's why when we find ourselves in situations, we start calling on God. We're like, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. I've been faithful. I'm trying to hold on. Yeah, I probably could have did a few things better. But God, I'm trying to do the will of God. I'm trying to do what you've called me to do. God, help me. And we can call on the name of the Lord. We take refuge in God. It says he's my shield. Who doesn't love a shield, right? Last week we had the shield. And then we had the shield up. The shield is great. I always like thinking of the shield as the windshield. Yeah, you know, everybody's got a car, right? Pretty much. Well, most people have a car, right? So yeah, when you're driving down the highway, that's when you appreciate the windshield the most. Isn't that right? Right? You know, you don't really think much of it when you're just driving around local. You can put the windows down, you know, it's hard. But the problem is when you're going down the highway. When you're going down the highway, man, stuff is coming at you all the time, right? You know, there's bugs, bap, 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 bap. I used to drive a motorcycle, and then the bugs used to, one time somebody told me, says, you should try riding without a helmet. Yeah, that was dumb. That was dumb. I realized immediately why helmets were a good thing. Yeah. I was going down the highway, man, and bugs were smacking me in the head and the face. Everything was, I was like getting hit with stuff. And on a motorcycle, man, that shakes you up. So you're like, and you know, and you can't do this. You know, you can end up dead. You know, so you just gotta take it. It's like, you know, right? And eventually you start slowing down, right? Because, man, that thing hurts. You're getting hit with bugs, or if you're behind a truck, you got these little pebbles and dust, and you know, dust is flying up behind. Man, it's like, man, you know, it's torture. Man, you put your helmet on. keep it on. You got to keep that thing on. And the faster you go, the more you need a shield. Hallelujah. The more you need a shield. The only time you don't need a shield is if you're not going anywhere. Right? You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. You don't need a shield. You don't need to have cover. You don't need protection. But God is your shield because God is taking you somewhere. You are on a move from God. God is going somewhere. We're on our way. God is leading us in the way that we should go. And when you're following God, when you're doing things God's way, he will take you places. Sometimes you see people, they're in the same place today that they were 5 years ago, or they were 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. I've run into people from I was in high school with, and they kind of look like they've been doing what they were doing in high school for the past 40 years, 30 years, right? And so it's like, good grief, man, what happened to you? You know, life has not been kind, you know? And unfortunately, you know, that's how it is when you live a life that is rough. You're going through life without a shield. You're getting busted up. You got scratches and scars. You get, you know, you got bruises and you're getting busted up just because what is naturally in the air from you traveling through life is taking its toll on you. And that's why we need God. God buffers us. God sustains us. He keeps us. He keeps us. He covers us. He is our rock and our shield. He is the horn of our salvation. He is as we're driving down the highway, he's the beep, beep, cleared away. Beep, 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 I'm coming through. Beep, beep, come on. God is the horn of our salvation. He is able to take us where we need to go, and he covers us. He is our shield, and he makes a way. He is our stronghold. Hallelujah. God will be your covering. That is why we celebrate in God. That's why we are faithful to God. That's why we trust him. Why? Because each appointment and experience that we have in God helps us to have our faith built up. We are increasing in faith. And so David spoke these words in 2 Samuel 22, 1-4. And he said, this song of the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It says, he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He says, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. Hallelujah. God will sustain us. God will keep us. He is our shield. We need God to go ahead of us. Keep God in front of you. Don't wait until after you're in trouble to say, oh, God, help me. Can you? No, you already been run over by the bus. Now, God is trying to keep you from trouble. He's trying to keep you from finding yourself in a place of hardship and difficulty where you've been overwhelmed and overtaken. The shield of God will be your buffer. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. He will keep you from harm, from violence, the psalmist says, David says here. And so he says, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, calling upon the name of the Lord, God will save you. That's why we have to remember the Lord. When you call on God, the whole purpose of the horn is to say, God, you go first. Go ahead of me. Don't wait until after it's too late. Pray and say, God, sustain me. God, keep me. God, make a way for me. Don't wait until you've been knocked out to finally wake up and say, oh, God, oh, God. Now God is like, well, you're a little late, aren't you? Yeah, now that's why you're knocked out laying on the ground, right? Because you getting busted up because you waited until after the things all went down to now you want to call on God. Well, God says, I hope you learned. And guess what? If you didn't learn, he's got another appointment for you. There's another appointment. You know what happens when you fail a class in college? That's right. And they take your money again. Isn't that right? Right? Not like high school. Oh, well, you can keep going around in a loop over there, right? Because somebody else is footing the bill. But when you go to college, you fail that class. Guess what? not only do you not get the credit, but then you got to pay to take it again, or you don't get a degree, right? So that's what God says. God says, you know what? You'll take this class again, and when you get down there, show up for the exam and have the papers done. Make sure you have everything in place. Keep God ahead of you. Don't wait until things overwhelm you, things overtake you. Let God go first. And so the horns of the altar are there for us to have God as our buffer. God goes before us. He is the force that moves or pushes or scatters the destructive things that come into our lives away. Even defeats the enemy who comes against us. God will save us from harm. Keep God in front of you like a shield. It is the purpose of the shield. In Leviticus 23:23, it says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, in the seventh month of the first of the month, you shall have a rest, a reminder by blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. In other words, God is calling us into action. He says, I'm blow the trumpet, the sound of God. That is why we cry out to God. That is why we hold on to the horns of the altar. We let our prayers go up to God and we call on God. He is the one who gives us rest. It is a call to follow God, to obey his word and the principles that he has given us in his life, in our lives. Verse 9 says, when you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. Numbers chapter 10. You and I are able to be saved from our enemies, from the conflicts, from the challenges, from getting our heads butt by people who are looking for that opportunity when we remember the Lord, putting God first, allowing him to go before us. Verse 10 says, also in the day of your gladness and in your appointed feast and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. In other words, not only is the sound of the trumpets for us to remember the Lord, but it says to God, remember me. Hallelujah. God, remember me. And we're saying, God, we remember you. Go before us. We're going to obey you. We're going to do what your plan is, what your will is. But remember us. Remember us also. And salvation is always a two-way street. We place our faith and trust in God. God imparts life to us. He becomes our covering. He goes before us. He works out things in advance as we go along. And so God covers and raises up the righteous. And he enables us so that we can remember him first. And he goes before us like a shield. This is what God is calling us to put into practice. If we can put these principles into practice, it will change the experience of life that we're all having. Our lives will be redirected and reshaped when we put God first. And God will speak to us. We'll learn to hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. And so when you follow him, that means you put him first. He's going ahead of you. He is your shield. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, I will be your shield. I will be your buffer. I will go ahead of you and prepare the way. And where I am going, you will be also. Hallelujah. God always has to stay ahead. Keep God in front of you, not behind you, not after the fact, after trouble happened. God wants to navigate you through to avoid the trouble, to avoid the problem. And when problems are unavoidable, he's like a shield. He deflects. Hallelujah. He deflects. So the thing that would have knocked you out, taken you down, it gets deflected off. Oh, you may experience a little bit of something, but it will be nothing like what it would have been if you had have taken the full brunt of the whole thing if God hadn't buffered you. That's why the Word of God says He will not give you more than what you can bear, right? He doesn't allow more on you than what you can bear. He deflects and He buffers, and He is your shield. He is your tower, your strong tower. In Luke 1:68, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people." Hallelujah. "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, His servant." Who are they talking about here? He's talking about Jesus. That's right. Jesus is the horn of salvation. He is from the lineage of David. In Matthew 28:18, when He told the disciples to go into all the world to preach the gospel, it says that Jesus came up and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Whosever authority you place yourself under, that is who you are following. That will be the shield that you are behind. And when we follow the Word of God and the will of God, then we have the covering of God. He is our shield. He is our buffer. The problem with Adam and Eve in the garden was Adam chose to listen to the word of Satan over the word of God. And once he listened to the word of Satan, he came under Satan's authority. All that Adam and Eve had, all that God gave them, now was moved over under the covering of Satan. And that is why he is the prince and the power of the air, because he is over us. He is over humanity. And it's not until you submit your heart and your life to Christ that you come out from under his authority and back under the covering of God. And that is why the Spirit of God comes into us, so that we can have strength to stay where we're supposed to be faithful, to be consistent, to walk in the ways of God. And this is what God is working out in our lives. Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" Why? Because God is your shield. He is your cover. He is your buffer. You are in the tabernacle of God, in the covering of God. You are under the shelter of the Almighty. The righteous run into Him and they are safe. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is the horn of salvation. Jesus is the one in whom we place our faith and our trust. Psalm 75:10 says, "The horns of the wicked he will cut off, but the horns of the righteous will be lifted up." Hallelujah. So have no fear, saints of God. Just put God first. Let him be your shield. Let him be your covering. Allow him to go before you. He will make a way. Pray in behalf of your family, of your children, even of your coworkers in your situations at work. Let God go before you so that you can prosper, so that you can experience the good things that God can provide and the way that God will make for you. He will open doors. He will enable you to overcome every obstacle and every challenge that comes your way. It is by the Spirit of God, like a ram, you will be able to endure the headbutting and the challenges and the difficulties that you face when you call on God, when you let your prayers ascend into heaven, that the Spirit of God may go and work in your behalf, that God would intervene as you cry out. The horn of God will blow, and you will see that you will be able to move by the Spirit of God, in the power of God, under the anointing of God, as God glorifies himself in your life, in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, you will experience the power of the horn. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice.
It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. And the trumpet calls, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
There's no God, come on.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is breathing life into you today, that you are being stirred in the ways of God to be faithful to God, that you will have the strength of a ram so that the horn of God can enable you to overcome whatever it is that butts against you, and that you will find yourself in a place where God has gone before you, where he's making a way for you and he's opening doors for you, that his provision is being poured out for you, and that you know the power of his presence like never before. And even in days like this, where things are unpredictable and there are many things that we are not even aware of that are happening behind the scenes, we know that God is going before us, and that God will be our covering. He will be our buffer, and that no weapon formed against you will prosper as you allow the shield of God to go ahead of you. So blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm unto God, and allow the Spirit of the Lord to be manifested in your life. And Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would show yourself and help us, Lord, as we engage in these divine appointments that come in our daily routine. And that you would use us to be your witnesses and your ambassadors. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord God. Each morning, renew us and revive us afresh and anew. And that our days would be prosperous, that you would guard us and shield us and allow your glory to fill our lives. Help us and our children and our children's children be glorified in every aspect. Bless the work of our hands and allow the name of the Lord to be praised as the testimony of the Lord reigns through in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
these are the days
amen.
Of Elijah, amen. Declaring
amen.
The word
hallelujah.
Of the Lord.
Glory to God.
And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call. So